Chumash Devarim, start with the sugya of Taichacha, with the sugya of rebuke of Musar. Eila hadvarim asher dibar Moshe al kol Yisrael be'eber Yarden. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all of the Jews before they, on the other side of the Yarden. In other words, before they crossed the Yarden. And he mentioned to them a bunch of names of places. That was his rebuke. He said, Midbar Arava Mal Sof Bein Paran Ubein Teufel V'Lavan V'Chatzeres V'Dizav. He mentioned places to them. And Rashi says that he was mentioning places to them to remind them of different difficulties, different sins that they had committed in these places. If you look at the Targum Yonis of Menuzil, on Eled Hadavara Masher Dibar Moshe, these are the words that Moshe spoke. So the Targum Yonis says, Ilein pizgamei oichachusa. These are the words of Taichacha. So it's Moshe's words of Taichacha, words of rebuke. That's the beginning of Chumash Devarim. The Ramban says more by Arichas. The Ramban explains that Moshe didn't want, this was a few weeks before he passed away, he didn't want them to be overly confident that they'll be able to serve Hashem properly, and he wanted to remind them that there were times that they fell, there were times that there were difficulties along the way. The fascinating Sifri. The Sifri in the beginning of the parasha, the Sifri is a medrash, and he says like this: Eila hadvarim asher dibar Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. So the Sifri asks, V'chiloi nesnabe Moshe elozeh bovad. These are the only words that Moshe spoke. Moshe didn't speak any other words. All over the Torah it says that Moshe said this, and Moshe said this, and Moshe said this, and then we start from these are the words that Moshe spoke. Moshe has been doing a lot of speaking over these 40 years. These are the words that Moshe spoke. What is that? That's the Sifri's question. V'halehu kasev es kol ha-Torah kula. He wrote the entire Torah. Ma Talmud Leimer, Eila Hadvarim. What do you mean, these are the words? Moshe did a lot of speaking. Malameh Shehayu Divrei Teichachos. You see that it was Teichach, that it was Musa. It was words of rebuke. The Sifri doesn't answer the question. The question is that it says these are the words that Moshe spoke, and Moshe spoke about a lot of things. So the Sifri answers these are words of rebuke. It doesn't answer the question. These are still it's true that Moshe spoke a lot. Besides the words of rebuke, Moshe gave us a lot of parashas of the Torah and taught us many things and many lessons and many halachas. But still, why does it say Eila Advar and Asher Dibar Moshe? So Rav Dessler in the fifth chelik of Michtam Elio, they bring from Rav Dessler that he asked this question, and he says the answer, very, very profound thing, very profound yisoid. He says that even a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, who taught many, many, many lessons, gave over many, many lessons and many ideas and taught us many Yisaitis and Yiddishkeit and taught us many Hashkafas and taught us hundreds and hundreds of halachas, all the 613 mitzvahs with all their pratim and seifim and everything. But when a person like that opens his mouth and says, Musar, Eila hadvarim asher dibar Moshe, these are the most important words that you're going to hear from him. That's how a person has to be misyachas. Rav Dessler, like, oh, you hear he's almost like nervous to say it. And if you read the way he writes, even more than the Divrei Torah that you hear from someone, there's a special chashivus to the Divrei Teichacha, the rebuke that you hear from somebody, someone of stature. So the Klal Yisrael stood together, or Kol Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael, and they listened to words of rebuke. Moshe Rabbeinu remind them about one failing after another. How would we react to that? One fail, another failing, another failing. Another thing. He did it in a nice way, but he was beating down on them. So I was looking for some type of a... Does anyone talk about how the Yidden were reacting? Were they all grumbling? Like, how were they reacting? And I saw a little later on in the Sifri, the Sifri talks about this also. El Kol Yisrael, to the whole Klal Yisrael. So the Sifri says, Melame, this teaches you. Shehayu kulam ba'alei teichacha. They were all Baalei Teichacha v'yecheilem lamoid b'teichachais. They were all able to withstand rebuke. They were all able to handle it. So you have Moshe giving Teichacha, and you have Klal Yisrael with a special kelim that a person needs to be able to be mekabel Teichacha. So it seems like it's an appropriate time to discuss the value of being able to properly receive and accept words of Teichacha. So I want to read a Rambam Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuva, it's Perek Dal and Halacha Beis. The Rambam says, he quotes many things that could prevent a person from reaching a full tshuva. And he divides them up into categories. In Halacha Beis, he says, Umehen, and amongst these things, Chamisha Dvarim Hanayalim Darkei HaTshuva Bifnei Yaseyim. There are five things that close the Derech of Tshuva. Like there's a gate on the road to repentance. There's a gate blocking. It's impossible to do tshuva. There are five things. And the fifth one is V'hasayne Asatei Chachis. Someone who despises, someone who hates rebuke, someone who hates being rebuked. Why? Shehare lehi niach le derech tshuva. He's not giving himself any way to do tshuva. Sheha teichacha gei remes le tshuva. Because teichacha brings about, teichacha causes a person to do tshuva. Shebizman shemaydiyam lai le'odav chatov. At a time that they make known to a person his sins, umachlimin I say, and they embarrass him. They make him feel, they describe, doesn't mean stam to embarrass, it means to describe the averis that he's doing in a way that makes him feel humiliated that he does them. Chayzer b'tshuva, he does tshuva. And he brings different examples in Navi of the different times that the different prophets did, were mechiyah, starting from Moshe Rabbeinu through to Yeshaya and to Amos and to others. And then he goes on. V'chein kol ha-neviyim ha-chichu li-Yisrael. All the neviyim gave teichacha, gave musar to klal Yisrael, ad she-chazru b'tshuva, until they did tshuva. L'fikach, and therefore, tzorech la-hamayd b'chol kohol v'kohol mi-Yisrael. We have to establish in every single congregation, community in klal Yisrael, chacham gadol, a great wise man, v'zakein, v'yirei shamayim min ha-urav, someone who has yiras shamayim from his youth. Someone who has years of Yiras Shemayim on his resume, the Ahuv Lohem, and someone who the community loves, who the community values their opinion, that he should give Teichacha, he should give Musar, and be Machzer them B'Tshuva. And this person that hates receiving Teichacha, this person that hates receiving Musar, he doesn't show up. He doesn't come to the shir. He doesn't come to the speech. He doesn't come to the teichacha. He doesn't come to the meeting. He doesn't show up. He's not interested. Or if he's there, he doesn't listen. Therefore, he continues to do his averis. Because it hasn't been properly pointed out to him. He hasn't received the point that these are bad things. He thinks they're good things. And if you medayek carefully in the Rambam, when he talks about the value, or in this case, the flip side, he talks about how terrible it is to hate teichacha. This is the fifth of a list of five. Each one of these five are things that can prevent a person from doing tshuva. But in this fifth one, he says words that he doesn't say in the other four. He says, someone who hates teichacha did not allow himself a derech of tshuva. He did not allow himself a way to do tshuva. He's no way to be nesayir to tshuva if you don't accept teichacha. That's what he adds. So Rav Huttner asks, it's not true. Open up a shar tshuva. Open up a shar tshuva, shar beis. Shar beis, in the second shar of Rabbeinu Yonah's Sefer of Shar tshuva, is dedicated to the various different ways that a person can come about to be nesayir, to be inspired to do tshuva. There are various different ways. One of the ways is a person notices he's starting to age. A person starts seeing white hairs in his beard. He says, uh-oh, the clock is ticking, it's ma'irim to tshuva. If a person suffers terrible tragedies or big losses, so it's ma'irim to tshuva. There's many, many different ways. One of those ways is teichacha. So why is it that if somebody hates teichacha, he's not allowing himself a way to do tshuva? He's allowing himself other ways. This is a terrible thing. But what do you mean that he's not allowing himself a way to do tshuva? There are many ways to do tshuva. There are many ways to be inspired to do tshuva. We're holding by the Pesach of Rosh Chodesh Av. I want to ask another question that doesn't have to do with this, that's nageya to the understanding of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's an incredible Gemara, a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that the two Batei Mikdash that we had were destroyed for completely different reasons. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because the Jews were doing sins that are the worst sins possible. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. Idol worship, adultery, and murder. These are averis that are only three averis that are yaharig val yaver, that a person is mechayev to give up his life rather than to do these averis. The worst averis possible. And therefore the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of baseless hatred between Yidden. Sinas Chinam. And, okay, so that those are the two Batei Mikdash, and that's why each one was destroyed. But then Chazal take it another step, and they say, you see from here that that these three serious averis, Avodah Zarah, Gilurah, and Shefirah Sam, are equal to Sinas Chinam. That they are on equal level to Sinas Chinam. That's very hard to understand. Sinas Chinam is a law in the Torah. It says, Leisisna Esachicha Bilvavecha. Do not hate your brother. That's what it says. It's a law in the Torah to hate another Yid. It's also to hate a Yid. It's a law. But murder is a love with Mises Bezdin, that's Yehorek Val Yavar. How can you compare the two things? How can you compare hating a Yid to murder, to Avay Dezara, to Gilei Arayas? How can you compare it? The Gemara says, L'mashal, everybody knows, the Gemara says a love that has Karis with it is much more chomer than a love that doesn't have Karis. These love and Avay Dezara, Gilei Arayas, Shechazam are the worst love impossible. How many times is Avay Dezara repeated in the Torah and Chumash Devarim alone? It's from the worst Averis possible. How is it possible to say that they're equal to Sinas Chinam? It must be that besides for the measurement of averis, in terms of the severity of their punishment, there must be another way of measuring the or weighing different averis, and that's what we want to discover. So Rav Huna brings a chazal. It's a very difficult chazal to understand, and he at least sets us up on the path to begin to understand what's going on in this chazal. The Medrash says, it's a Medrash Rabban Shemais, discussing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the luchais to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that the luchais were six tefachim wide. It says two tefachim for Hashem to hold on to, kaviyachal, two tefachim in the middle, and two tefachim for Moshe to grab onto it. That's what the Medrash says. Adkan. That's the Medrash. Very difficult Medrash. Hashem needs to hold on to it. Why does it have to... What's going on here exactly? These two tefachim is a certain measurement to give Hashem like a room, a handle to hold on to it. And then two tefachim in the middle. And then another two tefachim on the other side so Moshe Rabbeinu could grab onto it. What's the point of that? Rav Huna learns an incredible yisayit from here, and we'll see that this yisayit comes up in many, many different areas in Yiddishkeit. He says, any time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives something to Klal Yisrael, any type of hasharas hashchina, when the presence of Hashem comes down into the world, when we receive Torah, when we receive anything from Hashem, there's two parts to our receiving something from Hashem. There's what Hashem is giving us, that's the first part. Hashem is giving us something. What's coming from Hashem to Klal Yisrael? Along with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives us the ability to receive it. I'll give you a mashal. It's not a good mashal, but just to bring out the point. I'll say a bad mashal, just to bring out the point. There's aspirins on the market today. You can buy a bottle of aspirin that come with two types of ingredients in each pill. It has the actual aspirin. But it also has, part of the ingredients of the aspirin, it also has an ingredient that coats the stomach so that the person shouldn't get ulcers from taking too much aspirin. In other words, you have the ingredient that's being introduced into the system, and that's the aspirin that's necessary. A person has a headache, he has the ingredient that's being introduced, the aspirin. Along with the ingredient that's introduced, is also introduced an ingredient that allows the person to be able to digest it in a healthy way. The Torah is given the same way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much, much bigger and way beyond our ability to comprehend. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something, he gives us the Torah, and he also tells us how to make ourselves fit and how to act in a way that we can receive that Torah. And that's what it means that the Luchas had a part of it that had Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, and also the other part of it for Moshe Rabbeinu to be Makabel. That means that's a mashal that in the Torah there's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is introducing to us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also giving to us the ability to receive it. We see it in the Luchas themselves. The Luchas, the first half of the Luchas, is Bein Adam LaMakom. is responsibilities between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's giving us the Torah. The second half of the Luchas is between a person and his friend, Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. How Klal Yisrael should act now that they've received the Torah. There's two parts to Torah. How Klal Yisrael should make themselves a Klal Yisrael that could receive the Torah, and their relationship with the one who gave the Torah. Similarly, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, there's a Maral that in the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, the Maral says that there's two parts to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The five books of the Torah, there's two parts. There's the first four books, Bereishis, Shemayis, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, the first four books, and there's the fifth. The fifth is in a separate category. He says the first four are given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fifth was also given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but through the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you read Chumash, you'll see the first four Chumashim are HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. The fifth is Moshe talking. Of course, every single word was what he receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's Eila HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe. The whole Chumash Devarim are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Maral says, just like the Luchas was divided up into two parts, the Torah is also divided up into two parts. The first four Sfarim, that's the part where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the Torah. The fifth is our Achizas Yad, our ability to grab onto it, is the Tzad of the Makabel. And he goes into, we're not going to do it now, but he goes into many, many, many examples where you see that the Chumash Devarim is devoted to allowing us to be able to receive the Torah, helping us to receive the Torah. The first four Sfarim are HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah, and Chumash Devarim helps us to receive the Torah. With this Yisayid, he answers many of the differences between the first Luchais, the first Aseres HaDibros in Yisrael, and the second time that the Aseres HaDibros are mentioned in Chumash Devarim, that there are differences between them. He says it depends whose perspective you're looking at. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it's this way, and he explains each one. And from the perspective of the one who's Mekabel, what he needs to do, in terms of being Mekabel, it's sometimes a different perspective. This is a difficult concept, and I'm not really giving it the full time. But just using these as mishalim to give across this this idea that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it, but we also have to have the kalim to receive it. We have to have the ability to receive it. So Rachmanu Litzlan, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being masher his shechina amongst Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting his presence and his kedusha amongst Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael stops that. Klal Yisrael damages that relationship. There's two ways that they can damage the relationship. Let me give a mashal. Someone is standing under a spring. There's a spring of water coming out of the ground, and he's standing under a spring with a barrel. There's two ways he could stop the water from going into the barrel. He can stuff up the spring, or he can break the barrel. The nimshal is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the spring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us bracha, hatzlacha, kedusha, the whole incredible relationship that the Beis HaMikdash represents. There's two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could stop that relationship. They can stop HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol from giving over that hashpa, or they can make themselves unable to receive it. They can break the barrel. In the first Beis HaMikdash, they stopped the hashpa. They did averus that were so severe that it stuffed up the spring. The second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't do averus that severe. It's true, the averus were not that severe. Baseless hatred between Yidden, as severe as it is not as severe as those three averus. But hatred between Yidden makes Yidden unable to receive the hashpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein kli machzik bracha el shalem. They broke the barrel. They broke their ability to receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's true that if you compare the two averus in severity, in the level of severity, if you compare the two averus, the Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah are much more severe than Sinas Chinam. The equality between them, this that they're compared in Chazal, is because both of them are effective ways, Rachmanu Litzlan, of causing a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Both of them are effective ways of breaking the bond that we have with Hashem. I can break the bond with Hashem by doing things that are so terrible that He no longer is mashpia on me, or I could break the bond with Hashem by making myself incapable of receiving it, by breaking the barrel. That's in terms of the whole Klal Yisrael. The same thing is true with a person, with an individual. A person who hates teichacha, a person who hates to be rebuked, it's not one mitzvah, it's not one thing that he hates to do, he hates teichacha. He closes his nefesh up from being able to be mekabel. He's not a mekabel. He doesn't want to hear it. He's not interested in hearing it. Such a person broke the barrel. Such a person is not a person who's able to be chayzer b'tshuva. Of course, if he gets old, there's another hisayrus to tshuva. If yesurim happen, it could be another hisayrus to tshuva. But tshuva means that I want to change. I want to reflect upon myself things that are wrong, and I want to change them. That's the definition of tshuva. I want to return to Hashem. I want to enhance that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone who hates teichacha does not value that change enough. It's not a valuable enough change. Someone who values the change loves teichacha. It's an opportunity to increase the best relationship possible. If I can tell you a way, if someone's working for Bill Gates, if someone's working for Bill Gates, and I can go over to that person and say, I'll tell you a way to make Bill Gates like you much more. He'll say, no, I don't want to hear it. I'm the way I am. Nobody will do that. Yeah, tell me. I want to change. I can make him like me a little better. Tell me what I should do, what I should wear, how I should act, what I should do. I want to hear it. Because it's very valuable to anybody to have a good relationship with the wealthy boss of a company. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us for a purpose. And our whole goal in life should be V'atem HaDveikim Hashem Elokeichem, to attach ourselves to Hashem. If somebody comes to enlighten us how we could strengthen our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be ayev esateichachos. We should want to hear it. What could I do to make the connection stronger? If I hate hearing teichacha, I'm not a good keli for that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've damaged my ability to maintain my side of the relationship with Hashem. That's what the Rambam means, that he was lehi niach derech l'tshuva. Of course there are different ways to be nisa'ir to tshuva. But sayneas ha-teichacha, someone who hates teichacha, is a type of person that can't do tshuva. Because he doesn't value enough the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to do tshuva. Is the pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, "Al teichach letz." Don't rebuke a letz, someone who makes light of things. Don't rebuke him. Pen yisna echa, because maybe he'll hate you. A letz doesn't want to hear teichacha. Hoichach lechacham. Give rebuke to a wise person, v'yehovecha, and he will love you. And the Gra on that pasuk says an incredible mashal. Incredible mashal. It says, imagine someone goes out and he wants to buy his wife a mirror. He wants to buy his wife a mirror. That's a present he wants to buy his wife. And he goes to the store, to the mirror store, and there's two kinds of mirrors. There's one mirror that's like a smoky mirror, and it makes everything smaller. Everything that you look at, it looks smaller when it looks back at you. And there's another type of mirror that has light, bright lights around it. Everything's bright and clear, and it magnifies everything. So he's looking at the mirrors, and he tells himself, let me see a second. If my wife looks at the big, bright mirror, every blemish on her face, she's going to see clearly. That's not a favor to her. I'm going to buy her the smoky mirror that makes everything smaller. And then when she looks, she won't be able to see so clearly. And any blemish, if there's any blemish on her skin or something, she won't be able to see it. And she'll always think she's beautiful. Is that a favor to the wife? Imagine he comes home and he tells his wife, I bought you a mirror that even if there's something on your face, you won't be able to see it. That's not a favor. She'll say, what are you talking about? The whole purpose that I look in a mirror before I go outside is because I want to see the blemishes, and I want to see them as big as possible so I can do whatever I can do to try to make them go away. But if I can't see them, I can't make them go away. He says, that's the chacham. The chacham wants a person to hold a mirror up to him and say, look, you thought this was a little thing? You thought that if you do this aveir or that aveir or this injustice or that bad thing, you thought it's a little thing? No, look in this bright big mirror and it magnifies everything and you can see all the blemishes. And now you have an opportunity to properly be mechanic yourself that those blemishes should go away. That's Haichach L'Chacham. Give Teichacha to Chacham. Hold that mirror up to a Chacham. Let him see in full glory the blemishes. That's what he wants, because the whole tachlis of his life is that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I found a letter from Rav Dessler that he gives Teichacha. The truth is that the subject of the shiur was really receiving Teichacha, but it's such a beautiful letter of Teichacha that I wanted to read part of the letter. And with all the love that Rav Dessler put into his letter of Teichacha, I still think it's a good idea for us to ask ourselves how we would react to getting such a letter from a Rebbe, if we had gotten such a letter. He wrote, "I just received your letter." This was written on Shushan Purim in 1940. "I just received your letter and I'm hurrying to answer the letter right away. I want you to know that because I love you so much and you're like a beloved son to me, I love you more than a flesh and blood relationship. And therefore I'm going to speak divrei teichachos, I'm going to speak words of rebuke. And I want you to know before I start that it's coming from a heart that loves you. But before I start, let's talk in learning a little bit." Then he writes a few paragraphs about a sugya that they had been learning. He says, okay, now getting back to what I wanted to give you teichacha about. It's a very profound thing in the talking and learning first, because it's a message to the Talmud that you're not mufka, you didn't lose your value because I'm giving you teichacha. We can still have our relationship that you asked me a question in learning and I'm going to discuss the questions that you asked. But now let's get to the teichacha. He said, "I had tremendous tsar when I read your letter. First of all," he says, "I wrote you a very long letter." Rav Dessler had written this Talmud first, a very long letter. "And you know that it's not easy for me. I don't have time to write letters. And I didn't find one word of thanks in your letter to me. Now understand, it's not because I need your thanks that I'm giving you teichacha, but because I love you. How could you be such a kafui toif? How could you reject the good that I've done to you? How can you reject this in such a profound way? Don't you remember all the things I taught you about kaifer b'tayvasi shel chaveri l'besayv kaifer b'tayvasi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Don't you remember all the lessons that I taught you about not rejecting and not being kaifer the good that someone does to you?" He says, "And not only that. In the beginning of your letter, you wrote that there's one other thing that I forgot to write to you about. I want to know the things I forgot to write to you, but do you have to write that in the beginning of the letter after I had already written you a 10-page letter?" He says, "I want you to compare this letter with Aryeh's letters." Now, I'm choshed that Aryeh is Rabbi Aryeh Carmel, who put together Mr. Meliyahu. That's how I'm choshed. "I want you to compare your letter with Aryeh's letters. If you'll put your letter next to Aryeh's, you'll see right away that his is full of thanks on every dover cut and that he feels thankful." So I started to think about this. Rav Dessler's writing. I started to think about this. It can't be that such a chash of a person has such a chisaron and derech eretz. How could it be? I know that you love when I write you letters. So I was trying to understand, how could this be? So I read your letter again. And when I read your letter again, I realized that you must have been in a time of bilbul hadas. You must have been in a tumultuous time. You must have not had the presence of mind at the time that you wrote your letter. You must have had tremendous tsar or something. And a bilbul hadas. And I want to tell you that that's a tremendous chisar. And it's a terrible thing not to have menuchas hadas. Not to have a presence of mind. It's a terrible thing. And you yourself learned in Mesillas Yesharim where he writes about how the whole trick of the Yetzer Hara is to make a person not have Menuchas HaNefesh. And that's why I'm so upset. Because you have the ability to have Menuchas HaNefesh, which is the opposite of Bilbul Hadas. And I'm always so happy to see how calm and relaxed you are. And now I see that you're so in an uproar that you don't remember to do a basic thing like thanking a person who writes you a letter. Because then also, not finished yet. And also, why didn't you write to me about such and such a subject that you knew I was concerned about? You know that I'm worried about you, about this topic. You know that I'm worried about it. And if you would have read my letter carefully and with Isha about that, you would have seen that obviously you should write back how you're doing regarding that topic. That was another proof to me that you did not have any presence of mind when you wrote the letter. And therefore I feel it's out of my love for you, from the depth of my heart, I feel like I have to rebuke you. Loi b'ni loi loi zu haderech. No, my son, no, this is not the way. This is not the way to serve Hashem. Concentrate on watching yourself from such bilbul. and work hard to strengthen your feelings of Hakaras HaTov, of recognizing the good that other people do for you. And with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you Hatzlacha and will be Makarav you to his Ava and his Yira and so on and so forth. You should have Shalom and Brachas and so on. The one who signs with tremendous love, your Rebbe, Avram Eliyahu Dessler. That's the letter. Letter of Techacha. So how did the Talmud react to the letter? So in the fourth Chelek of Mechtav Eliyahu, there's another letter from Rav Dessler to the same Talmud, a very short letter. Parshas Sazria, same year, 1940. To my beloved, precious Talmud. I'm overwhelmed from reading your words. You have become more chashiv and more special to me because I see how you can receive Teichacha. Hashem Yisparach should always help you, and I really want to answer you right away, but I can't give you a long letter now, but I said at least I want to tell you that you made me very, very proud. Adkan, end of letter. I wonder if I would have received a letter from a Rebbe. That's a harsh letter, with all the love in it. It's a harsh letter. I would have said, what's wrong with him, you know, nowadays? What's wrong with him? He's too much into cover. And what does he think? And doesn't he realize that he writes, he himself realizes I'm under stress. So can't he forgive me if I didn't? So on and so forth, all the excuses and rationalizations that we would have. I think it's good to, Rav Dessler is the Baal Musar, is the Mashgiach. And his Techacha came hard and strong. Came with love, but it came hard and strong. And the reaction of the Talmud, the proper Talmud, is to write back that he's Mekabel the Techacha 100%. The famous story with the, I think it was the Imre Emes and the Sfas Emes, the famous story that he, his grandfather was the Rebbe at the time. He eventually became Rebbe. And he, one night, he stayed up the entire night to learn, and he downed with Sikha. He downed very, very early in the morning, and he went to sleep. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, his grandfather finds him sleeping, and he didn't realize that he had davened already, so he starts screaming at him. What do you do? How can you be so lazy and sleeping late, and so on, and so screaming at him. And he doesn't answer. He's just listening to the Teichacha. And he's screaming and yelling, and what kind of thing is it? And hours of Talmud Torah lost, and what about waking up early to daven, and Shulchan Aruch says to wake up early, and so forth, screaming. He doesn't answer. It's macabre. So his friend who was there says, I don't understand you. Why didn't you say that you davened already? You were up the entire night learning. You're not a batlin. You're not a slouch. You're up the entire night learning. He says, if I would have said that, I might have missed out a few precious words of Teichacha from my grandfather. Give Teichacha to him, v'yehavecha, and he will love you. Something heading towards the Tisha B'Av and heading towards El and heading towards Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we know that the parashiyos are in place the way they are by coincidence. We have Chumash Devarim as our introduction to this time of the year. Chumash Devarim is a sugi of Teichacha. I think it's a worthwhile time to think about. How do we receive Teichacha? When someone starts saying things and they don't fit with our worldview, do we start saying that the person's getting carried away, he doesn't really understand, he's not in touch with reality? Is that our response? Are we willing to change our perspectives? I think this is the main point of being Mekabel Teichacha. People think the main thing of being Mekabel Teichacha is that you have to be man enough to listen to your chesroinus. I think that's like a simple thing. That's any person who's mature realizes that he'd better be man enough to listen to other people's criticisms of him, or he'll never know the criticisms that people have about him. That's the first step. I think the more difficult part of being Mekabel Teichacha is to accept the possibility that the way that I'm looking at the situation might be wrong. My perspective, my whole perspective on the situation might be wrong. And to bend myself to listen to somebody else's perspective on something that I already decided that this is the right way to look at it, that this is the right way to act, that this is the way I'm going to do things. And to accept the possibility when a wise person gives Teichacha that it's possible that my whole perspective is wrong. That he's not getting carried away. Maybe I'm ignoring the right perspective. Maybe he knows better. Maybe I should rethink the question again. Rachmana Litzlan, when someone's very, very, very sick, so he goes to a doctor and the doctor says, there's no hope. And then he hears that another doctor thinks there might be hope. Does he say, he's just getting carried away? I'm not listening to that. Any doctor that has hope, he'll go listen to in full detail. Any chacham that's giving techacha is another possibility to create another relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to make ourselves a better keli to maintain our relationship with Hashem. We have to be willing to, and it's a very difficult thing, something to work on, to accept the possibility that my perspective is wrong. I'll never forget, a couple of months ago, someone was talking to me about something, and I said, can I tell you something? And he said, you can tell me, and I'll listen, I just want you to know before you start that you're wrong. And I don't think he realized himself what he was saying, but I think that many of us, he came down and said it, I think many of us say it ourselves. Yeah, I'll listen, I know you're wrong, but I'll listen. I think we have to be willing to say, I'll listen, and to really listen. Maybe I'm wrong. Frightening possibility. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. And we should be as chus for us that we're making ourselves better mekablim to open up the gates to have a derech to tshuva. We should be zeicha to not sit on the floor of this tshuva.